great-grandfather's pocket watch to the floor. All the things that I was holding on to give to people after I was dead, I'm giving to them while I'm alive. And you know what? It feels great. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, what a journey for you to, you know, be able to live this way. It's gonna bring up a lot of challenges, but it sounds really wonderful.
Well, what an experience. Well, you know, I'm just tired of all this, and clearly from my perspective, looking at the world out there and analyzing the totality of events, we're at a finish line now anyway.
Yeah, of course, I know that you know what happened in Milwaukee today.
Yeah.
And it happened 2 weeks ago here in Colorado, a major massacre of people.
For those who don't know, that there were six people and a gunman killed at a Sikh temple in
outside of Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Oscar.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
And so, you know... talking with one friend today who said, okay, so now this is going to happen every 2 weeks. And I said, God, I hope not, but we can expect a lot more of this in a culture that's completely unraveling. I did talk to somebody in Milwaukee who said that the Sikh people are just being absolutely awesome. You know, they're invited everybody to come next Sunday. They're opening the temple to feed people and to talk about this. And they're just a very peaceful, family-oriented people who are, you know, they're responding with an open hearted, loving manner, not seen in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you've seen a lot of impact on families with what's going on lately. What do you?
I have. Well, I want to just correct that I'm not presently a therapist. I was for 17 years, but I do a lot of life coaching, and a lot of people do contact me regarding changes that they are going through in terms of waking up to collapse and, you know, things like lost my job, what am I going to do with my life now, went through a foreclosure and bankruptcy and lost everything, what's next,
and then
lots of stuff about relationships. And by relationships, I mean all kinds of relationships. There are, you know, lots of spouses who are, you know, one person is waking up, and the other person doesn't want to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
There are also, you know, families who, you know, have in-laws or extended family who, because this particular family is waking up, they're wanting to make changes, they want to relocate. The extended family thinks they're crazy, and there's this huge estrangement, you know, within the family, and it's very painful for folks. And yeah, you know, they know that it's a journey and that they're going to move through this and that, you know, greater things are on the other side, but it's extremely painful. So I'm doing something now that I have never done. I'm finishing up a book that I hope to send to publication the first part of the year on collapsing consciously, and it's a book of essays. It's also a book of 365 reflections on collapse day by day.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and I told you about that one already, but at the same time that I'm finishing up this one, I'm starting a new book on relationships in the long emergency. I'm pushing myself to do that because this feels so urgent, what's going on with folks out there.
Mm-hmm. It really is urgent.
Yeah.
And as I'm going through this here, because I've been here a year and a half, but I have deeply woven myself into this community here and made a lot of friends and a lot of connections. And there is kind of the people that have been coming by to look, I got to sell everything, look at the stuff. They totally get what's going on.
Yeah.
They're looking for very practical things. But I'm getting a lot of love here. And I just wish that could be the case. And do you have a sense, I mean, for all the people that are losing their homes and their jobs, do you think most people out there actually have a support group that can help them?
No, that's the sad thing. Most people don't. And so part of what I do with folks is to help them find that. I mean, I do a lot of things with folks, but that's a really important piece because we just can't, none of us, get through this on our own.
Mm,
We've got
no.
to have support around us. And it's there, you know, and part of relocating, I tell people, is to decide where you can go that you will have that kind of support. It may not be, you know, 100 people who are on the same page, but if you have 4, 5, 6 people with whom you can talk about these things, that can make a world of difference.
One of the things that I learned over the many months now, I've been really weaving a lot of the stuff I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous in here because it's so appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
It just fits so well. But one of the things that my AA sponsor, Dale, I had it for 21 years, great guy, he just said, go where the love is. Go where the love is.
Yeah.
Go where
yeah.
the love is.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the best way to do it because I have a whole new perspective, too, now on... And I think I was perfectly right, like everybody that I and you and so many of us have been talking to for years who have been listening to us. You know, we've told them to make their preparations. But I've always had an inner sense that, oh, my goodness, people make plans, but they have what's going to make a difference as to whether they make it or not is whether or not they can adapt when their plans disappear.
Absolutely.
How do you build those kind of muscles, Carolyn?
Well, you know, it comes back again to the letting go and the releasing, you know, which is really a challenge. But, you know, I have a couple of friends here in Colorado that are really classic examples of that. They, 2 years ago, they lived up in the mountains, and they had lots and lots of preps, I mean, food and tools and all kinds of things. And they went away with their family for a couple of weeks vacation, and they came back to a house that was burned to the ground.
Oh, no.
Yeah, absolutely heartbreaking, just horrific. That was one of the fires that we had in 2010. And, you know, it's like I've watched these folks over the last couple of years resiliently adapt to this and like, okay, all right, we lost everything we possibly could have for preparation. But you know what? We're not going to give up. And so I've seen them, like, you know, start a little farm, and they've got some land that they might build a house on, and they're really adapting because they know that it's either that or you sit down and look for the nearest gun and put a bullet in your head or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, or start drinking a lot of booze or whatever because it's just too hard. And, of course, they have a lot, they've built in a lot of support in their lives. So this is the kind of thing, is to be resilient and to have support.
What I am finding is that the seeds that I have sown here, building community, are paying enormous dividends, and I'm, you know, there's a ton of puns there. The neighbors are going to take care of the crops that I won't be able to harvest.
Mm, yeah.
And the new tenant and I have worked out a deal so that we can be sure that all the plants will be cared for seamlessly, and so there's a care in exiting. And I'm very clear that the way I look at this is Michael C. Rupert is dying, and that's not morbid in the least. I'm just checking out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm done.
The ego is dying, absolutely.
Yeah, and yeah. you know, and giving away all the keepsakes and the heirlooms is fine, but I have no desire to be connected to that world anymore,
mm-hmm.
in
right.
any way, shape, or form.
Right.
You know, so I have a luxury in that all I have to care for is my dog.
Yeah,
but have you had experience where, you know, the divorces are taking place? Or
oh, absolutely. You know, very reluctantly, because I see a lot of people who are really torn as far as, you know, I really love this person that I'm with, but, you know, I can't do this anymore. I have to prepare. I have to get support in my life from people who understand this. I can't live 24/7 with a person who says I'm crazy because I'm preparing. And so very painfully, I do see that. Now, I also see situations where people are able to communicate about it. They're able to get more on the same page. They're able to make some compromises with each other.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, indeed, I do see relationships ending over this.
Okay. Well, Carolyn, you know we're in a nightclub at the end of the world, and I thought about a song for tonight. And it's so amazing how I listen to these songs from New White Trash that were written 3 years ago, And they seem to take on different meanings based upon the circumstances. Now I'm going to play the new White song called Free Fall, which is me and Doug Lewis. Doug Lewis opens the song. I sing the second part. Doug and I wrote it together. And this is one now that should just make you kind of remember to keep a sense of humor. Here is New White Trash and Free Fall.
When everyone, everywhere is running for cover, when bonuses and bailouts are feeding bottom suckers, and your back's up against the wall again, you're the new white trash. You're the new white trash.
Trade the middle for the new white trash. Say goodbye to the working class.
And hold on.
Hold on to nothing at all. You're the new white trash in free fall.
Caught up in a tangle, now you're hanging on a thread. Raise your hand, young man, looking for a bed to lay your head. You're the new white trash. You're the new white trash. When everyone, everywhere is running for cover, when bonuses and bailouts are feeding bottom suckers, and your back's up against the wall again, you're the new white trash. You're the new white trash.
Maybe it was just me. Maybe it was a time glitch or something, a jump in the space-time continuum. I thought the song started over in the middle of the song. Wow, that was okay. That was Free Fall, which apparently we're all in, from New White Trash at newwhitetrash.com. Me and Doug Lewis, I'll be living with Doug out in Crestone, Colorado, and Squishy, my dog Rags, is his best friend. And my dog Rags will be reunited on the high plains of Colorado. We're back with Carolyn Baker tonight, and if you want to call in, you got anything you want to talk about. If you got any problems you want to talk about, this is like a good crowd to do it. We share experience, strength, and hope here, and we help people get through it. The number to call is 1-888-874-4888. 888-874-4888, or you can email me directly at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. Okay, we're on this subject of letting go. What's easier to let go of, things or people?
Oh, I think things, just for just about everyone, are much easier to let go of than people.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships, you know, are woven deep in the psyche and the nervous system, and, you know, it's much harder. And I think a lot of times in the letting go process, we realize what's really important, because maybe we had thought that the house or the job or something was more important. And then we realize in this strain on relationships, we realize what really matters.
What I have encountered a couple of times lately as I'm going through this is I've had dealings with couples locally, and the wife seems to be the one much more afraid, much more concerned about the details of dollars and cents of the accounts, all that left brain stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of unusual to me. But I guess I'm kind of weaving that in with what's happening in the paradigm shift that's like the shifting of the relationship between the sexes or something. But I'm seeing a lot of men acting very emotionally healthy lately.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there's no cookie cutter pattern about this. I work with situations where the woman is awake and aware, and she's got to move on, you know, and because she realizes that the stuff and the things and the money that her husband is so enamored with, just not going to be there. Maybe he's really caught up in status, you know. Well, my kids are going to go to public schools. They're not going to be homeschooled because that's beneath us. Or, you know, there are millions of examples. And then I see the opposite, which is where the man has been doing the research and he's been looking at all these things and wants to talk with his wife about it, and she doesn't want to hear anything about it. And in both situations, it's very difficult if there are children, because, you know, conflicts come up about what are we going to tell the kids? Oh, you can't tell them those things because you'll scare them and traumatize them. Whereas the person who's awake to collapse is saying, well, I want to take the kids out camping so they'll get some skills in how to survive out in the world.
We have a caller. Tom from Los Angeles has a question. It's about separating from a loved one. Tom, are you there?
Yeah, hi. But I don't have the guts to separate from the loved one. I've known this woman for 29 years, and we go way back. She had a stroke 2.5 years ago. I'm her caregiver. I quit my job 2 years ago because I couldn't do both. And I'm kind of like you, Michael. I have no money. She has a large trust, but it's administered by her brother. And I want to get out of L.A. because of all of the tipping points.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe L.A. is going to be around as we know it, even 5 years from now or even less time. And so, but I don't have, you know, I can't leave her, because leaving her would put her in an assisted living situation. It would be horrible. But we come from two different realities. I mean, 29 years ago, we met at the Comedy Store, and both of us wanted to be highly successful comedians.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I came into Alcoholics Anonymous a while back, and my value has completely changed.
Of course.
All I want to do is have a stronger relationship with God, be as kind as I possibly can to the people I meet along the way, and survive this, maybe work on a farm like you did, growing crops and stuff. But she's not in that reality. She doesn't believe the world's going to change. She believes it's going to be as it is today, or things will get better. But I love her too much to separate from her. That's my problem.
Carolyn?
So I'm prepared possibly to die with her here. I don't know if that's constructive or not, but that's what I've told myself. I said, I don't want to leave her alone so she dies on her own. I do want to survive, but I'm actually preparing possibly for death.
These are the kinds of introspective, gut-level decisions that many people are making now. And thank you so much for calling. Carolyn, please.
Well, you know, I heard the last part. I heard all of it, but I really heard the last part. Mm-hmm. I'm prepared to die with her. And, you know, that really is your choice. And I respect whatever choice you make. And it brings up the subject of survival versus something more than survival. I personally believe that a whole bunch of us are not going to survive the collapse of industrial civilization. And so in our spiritual work, and I'm so glad that you're part of Alcoholics Anonymous and wanting to deepen that relationship with the sacred, because that's what we really need to be hanging on to right now, because that transcends, that goes beyond our physical body survival. So, you know, you're in a really, really tough situation, and I would just encourage you to keep holding the tension of these opposites. You know, you're looking at some really painful opposites, and to walk day by day holding the tension of both of those. You know, Jung said a long time ago, and he was a big influence on the starting of Alcoholics Anonymous, we've got to hold the tension of those opposites, because in the alchemical process, something transforms. If we do that, something shifts, and it's a third thing that comes in. So I would just encourage you to keep doing that. And thanks for asking the question. Thanks for calling in. My heart is with you, sir.
Me too. And you evoke something with me as you were describing this. When you said that you were prepared to die with her, I was prepared to die on my post at CollapseNet reading the stories every day, believing that that was the best I could do, and that I was willing to die at that post, even though Carolyn well knows I got tired of that, you know, in 2006. I already knew it was coming. I could see it then, but, you know, it just became clear. But I was doing that, and it was killing me. And what happened was I was lifted out of that. And that's the tension that Carolyn's referring to, Tom, spiritually, from a spiritual standpoint. In a crisis standpoint, at the level of consciousness we're at, there are no solutions. So a higher level of consciousness, as long as you stay in that love and desire to serve, will lift you out of that situation one way or another. I believe that's true, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you for that, Michael. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. We're coming up on a station break here at the bottom of the hour. We're with Carolyn Baker, and we're talking about the heavy stuff. We're talking about the hard stuff, but it's helping people out, and there's a lot of people walking with dignity through this right now. This is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, on the Lifeboat Hour at PRN.FM, and we'll be back right after these messages.
Especially here in America. You can listen to all my shows on the archives page, The Maria Heller Show. Listen now on Sundays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time here at PRN.FM.
Progressive Radio Network is extremely proud to announce the official PRN mobile app. Keep up with the Progressive Radio Network on the go, whenever and wherever, 24/7, with one-touch access to listen live, archives and podcasts of our latest shows, health, politics, and environmental news, featured op-eds, videos, and click to call us with just one touch. Plus, keep in touch with all our hosts via Twitter and Facebook. Download the app for free at prn.fm/mobile and keep moving forward with us.
Hello, this is Richard Martin to remind you that I'll be looking out for you on Mondays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time to give you the latest from the financial world and to let you know just how bad things are getting. I'll be telling you things you'll never get to hear in the mainstream media. So join me here on The Wake Up Call. You can listen to the show at any time from the archives, and if you like the show, rate us on iTunes. The Progressive Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
If Dr. Laura and George Nori of Coast to Coast had a radio love child, it would be Your Life, Your Relationships with Hollis Polk, right here on PRN.FM. Call in with your own people problems to get practical advice from clairvoyant and life coach Hollis, as well as her fascinating guests, who are experts in everything from maintaining a strong, intimate relationship to dealing with a horrible boss to global consciousness, just to name a few. Listen and call in Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, or download the podcast from the archives at PRN.FM. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you are coming with us.
This is PRN.FM. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Dragonfly, say this could be a good time.
That's Diane Patterson singing High Sierra Morning, and she's been a guest on this show. She's become a good friend while I've lived here in Sebastopol. I just sent a farewell email to her today. She's on tour up in Oregon. And that's, you know, my life has been one of moving all the time, 14 times through seven states before I was 17 years old, not counting all the times that I've been since I've been a whistleblower and since I was Michael C. Rupert. And it's hard to say goodbye to people, especially when you're just starting to get to know them some. And what I have found is to be is critical is to be present in the pain when you when the grief happens and the loss happens. Carolyn, talk about that for us, please.
Well, I was just looking at an article that was written recently on transitionvoice.com by Eric Curran, and he quotes Flannery O'Connor in Wise Blood, and O'Connor says, "Where you come from is gone. Where you thought you were going to never was there, and where you are is no good unless you get away from it." Where is there a place for you to be? No place. In yourself right now is all the place you've got.
That is the true path of the Tao, too, as well.
Yeah.
And of course, where I'm going in Crestone, that's just a hotbed of all kinds of great spiritual stuff that I'm going to be talking about. But we've touched on spirituality several times here, especially with the caller, Tom. And you and I were, do you remember, like, about a year and a half ago, Carolyn, there was a big discussion about using the word sacred?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. There still is in some circles.
Oh my God! But it, you know, but that's something else that I really want to take a chance, take the opportunity every time I get a chance to, is to re-inject the fact that there is so obviously a spiritual dimension to everything that is happening.
Right.
And it's obvious from a Cartesian standpoint.
Yes. Yes. It is.
I mean, dag nabbit, even Descartes would say this, you know, there's a lot of spiritual stuff going on here.
Yeah. He would probably say, "I am, therefore I think."
Oh, boy. Lord knows thinking has gotten us into a lot of trouble as a
species. You bet.
You know. I think one of the best lines that I ever heard in Alcoholics Anonymous was, "My head would have killed me 25 years ago, but it needs me to get around."
Yeah, right.
You know? And there's a lot of people living with that noise. And I found, you know, I have found myself being spun, two, three times a day, just as I become aware of all of the things that are happening when I think about all of the prophecies and predictions of the ancients, which are more accurate than ABC News in 60 Minutes. When I think about the obvious collapse of human industrial civilization, and what to me is also the obvious deterioration or disintegration of that mindset that we lived in for so long.
Yeah, I think that accounts for a lot of the craziness right now that people are feeling, because that doesn't work anymore.
Mm.
And, you know, if you're not open to, that terrible word, the sacred, you know, you're not open to exploring that and the depths of your soul, then all of this is going to seem so confusing and crazy-making. You've got to have that stability, that place within you, like O'Connor says, that place within you that you can go to. And you know, back to Tom's dilemma for a minute. You know, this could be his calling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to stay right there, to be in love,
mm-hmm.
and to serve, and knowing that he may not survive.
And again, you know, that's. I think one of the best definitions I ever heard of the word love was from Scott Peck, you know, who was really big in the 80s and 90s. But he defined love as being willing to experience personal discomfort for the sake of another's growth.
Yes.
That's a good definition.
It sure is.
I like that.
It sure is, yeah.
And that's what expands us.
You bet.
Do that. You know, I recall all the years of, you know, that I was in AA, and all the people that I saw that were like, you know, the really sought after spiritual sponsors were the ones who let everybody see them walking through their shit.
Yep. Absolutely.
And how they did it.
Yep.
And that's kind of the way I'm trying to walk out of here, because you know, I'm leaving the place better than when I found it. I'm leaving the land and the community and a lot of friends. And to me, that's enormously satisfying when I think about this might be the end of the world, and what else matters anyway?
Exactly. Exactly. You betcha.
You know,
and for me, it's like, you know, spirituality is not about becoming more spiritual. I just ran into this quote today, which I'm using in my book. It's from Richard Rohr, who's a radical priest in New Mexico, and he says, it's not about becoming spiritual beings nearly as much as about becoming human beings. So for me, spirituality isn't about becoming a spiritual person. It's about becoming more human.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being able to experience my compassion, my joy, my grief, my anger, my confusion, my sensuality, all of it. And, you know, and to be fully present in this world, that's where I find the sacred.
That's there and living in the now,
which is
again like a key tool we have to remind people of. I mean, AA was great for all the bumper sticker sayings. Don't get halt. Don't get hungry, angry, lonely, or tired.
Yeah,
check yourself that way. First things first. Easy does it. Keep it simple. But those things can be profoundly spiritually powerful.
Absolutely.
When you apply them.
Absolutely.
Now, so what are you being called for now? What's on your schedule? We've talked about some of the events you've been to. What are you doing now, and where are you going?
What I'm doing now is staying in my office and writing a lot.
You sound like it.
I'm finishing up this book, the current book, and then starting another one. And I'll be working on promotion of both of the books very soon. I don't have any events coming down the line in the really near future. I suspect that the rest of the year is going to be kind of a clear calendar in that respect. I will be giving a talk for Bioneers here in Boulder in November. And then I'm doing a lot of coaching when I have time, ha ha ha, making some podcasts for my website, but mostly focusing on getting these books out because they're so desperately needed.
How does coaching work with you? If somebody wants coaching from Carolyn Baker, how does it work?
First of all, they contact me through my website. They send me an email at carolyn@carolynbaker.net. And then, you know, we exchange emails a little bit to find out what's going on with them before we schedule an appointment. We can do it either by phone, in which they can call me, or we can do it by Skype, in which we can see each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically it.
Do you coach just individuals or couples or groups? Or?
I could coach groups or couples. I haven't so far. I've mostly been coaching, individuals, but I could certainly do that. And from time to time, I'm Skyped into groups because they have a particular question on something, and the group wants to ask questions, and it's a really fun dialogue that way. So, you know, and that saves carbon footprint, and it saves expenses and all that sort of thing for me to be able to do that.
Now, I agree with your earlier observation that if you just scratch the surface of society right now, it's going to be a total messy explosion.
Yes.
And I think we're very, very close to that right now. I see people, my perception, and I don't know if this is my subjective perception, but it's that people are just walking around going through the motions of work, of life, of shopping, of it's like, but I can feel, maybe that's just me. What do you think?
Well, for some people that's true, but I think for people who have experienced these losses, you've lost a house or two, you've done a bankruptcy, you've lost a job, you're 50 years old and you've lost a job and you've given up because you've been looking for 3 years, employment benefits have run out, you know, that sort of thing, or you're really, really poor and just trying to scrape by with food stamps and whatever, I think those folks are, they're either looking deeper and really searching, or they're medicating themselves in some way because the pain is too horrible.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for your average person who's not in that much pain, I think you're right. They're pretty much zombified.
Okay. How do you feel about the next 4 to 6 months?
Well, you and I have talked about this before. I don't necessarily think that December 21st is going to be a dramatic event. I do suspect that there will be some subtle changes in human consciousness. We might see some eruptions like we saw today, like we saw in Aurora, Colorado a couple weeks ago. We might see a lot more of those. I think everything is going to get worse. So, you know, I don't want to make any specific predictions other than I think the vice is going to tighten a whole bunch more.
Exactly. And I'm seeing that very clearly. I've been watching the headlines on the World News Desk at CollapseNet, and fortunately I don't read all the stories anymore. I just kind of check in to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But there has been a dramatic worsening in the tone of the headlines from around the world over the last 2 weeks. Just dramatic.
Yeah.
And, and I'm also seeing signs of something like deathbed confessions on the part of infinite growth, mainstays, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Some of the big names in economics who, you know, like Rubini and some of those guys, Dr. Doom, who are just saying, yeah, we're screwed. You know, and they're finally confessing that. I think you and I were talking yesterday about, peak oil is kind of the backdrop of everything, but in terms of the headlines, it's kind of the caboose on the train, and then the center part is the economic collapse that's just happening everywhere, and then the engine that's just speeding down those tracks 120 miles an hour is climate change.
You know, it has been just amazing to watch the stories. I should touch upon that briefly. The drought in the U.S., I think it's now 60% of the counties in the United States are disaster areas.
Yes.
This was a biblical drought 8 months ago when it was running from Texas. Texas has just been brutalized.
Oh, yeah.
All the way down through South America. But now it's spread all the way through the Southwest out to the West Coast, and it is devastating, and the food headlines are extremely concerning about what's happening to the cost of food.
Yeah, and water. I think water is. Oh my God! I think water is just going to. Well, it's the new gold, you know. And there's still fracking going on, and there's still all of this wastefulness of water, and people are just now getting it who are being affected by the drought. Oh, this is affecting our water supply. Duh.
Oh.
I just think food and water are going to be the big headlines in the next couple of years.
One of the things that I was impressed about, we had a lot of equipment here and a lot of stuff that I bought, we invested heavily in. And as I'm one of the first things that people want is I had like 10 water and food grade 55 gallon plastic storage drums.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the first things to go.
Wow.
Yeah, and those people saying, I think the power is going to go out at some point, which means we won't have electricity to pump water.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that was like grounds for cheering.
Yep.
Because you would say that 5 years ago when people would make no connection.
Right, absolutely.
Between that.
Yeah.
But yeah, of course, water is kind of heavy, and you can't carry it. And that's something that's going to be, I think, probably something which really sets the chaos into motion. Because 700 million people, they suppressed very heavily the deaths that resulted, stories on the deaths. Mm-hmm. 700 million people without power for 2.5 days. A lot of people died. I mean,
yep.
in a heat wave, locked in elevators, whatever.
Yep.
But when there's no water for significant numbers of people, they're not going to be able to hide that.
That's absolutely right. That is so true.
And there again, we come up to the moment. And you know, I am really converting. I'm not. I'm not turning my back on all the people that I was helping to prepare for all those years. And a great many people who we are so grateful that they have been. But I really like the idea of living light.
Oh, absolutely.
with nothing more than that'll fit in my car.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, and when I went to Tom Brown's Tracker School about a year and a half ago, and a little bit longer. And what their instructor's philosophy was: be prepared to live, not living in any one place for more than 3 days at a time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now that's going to change a lot of people's thinking.
No kidding.
Because there are a great many people who are good planners. There are a great many people who can make a lot of preparations. They can dig in, they can fortify, they can buy, they can accumulate, they can blah, blah, blah. But what I've worried about with them is, okay, that all looks good as long as that stays intact for them, but one little crack. And there's an axiom that I got from a former member of SEAL Team 6. I said, you know, he said, well, if the plan doesn't go wrong 5 minutes out the door, it's not a good plan. And that's the way SEALs and Special Forces look at it.
Right.
You know, if stuff's not going haywire and you're not working with it, but that's the skill, I think, that's going to be more important than any amount of physical possessions you could store away.
I think you're absolutely right. Is can I adapt? Can I be resilient? Absolutely.
And it all really comes down to how hard you hold on to what. You know, what are you holding on to? What is so hard to let go of? Again, from the Keep It Simple school, I was having a real bad day once, you know, about 25, 30 years ago in AA, and my sponsor stopped me and he said, "Have you eaten today?" I go, "Yeah." "You have a shower today?" "Yeah." "You got a telephone?" "Yeah." "You got a car to drive?" "Yeah." "You got friends?" "Yeah." "You're having a good day."
Yep, absolutely.
And that always works.
Yep. I'd like to share this poem. It's again from my forthcoming book, and Mary Oliver, who's one of the greatest American poets. This is from her little poem called In Blackwater Woods, and it's exactly what we're talking about tonight. She says, "To live in this world, you must be able to do three things: to love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends on it, and when the time comes, to let it go, to let it go."
Again, that's the embracing the totality of the experience.
Yes.
And that's the lesson that some would say, and I would, that's what I would say, that human beings are now remembering, that we have forgotten how to live that way. We have been so disconnected, you know, dissected, separated,
mm-hmm.
compartmentalized.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it is truly the totality of the experience that that makes it all worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're down to about the last 10 minutes, and we're in kind of a comfortable spot here. We have talked about the letting go process and all that. Is there anything that you want to bring up now?
Well, I'd love it if some more people came in and called us. I always like to hear from folks out there and see what's going on.
888-874-4888. Go ahead. And yeah, no, Carol and I are here, and Tom was just a great call. Actually, Tom just kind of set me back. That was a very poignant call.
It sure was.
And he's a very cool guy. I like him a lot already.
And,
you know, and everybody else out there. And I want to say there's a lot of people that have followed both you and me, Carolyn, for a long time.
Yes, there certainly are.
You know, there is a core with us, and I'm kind of assuming that this core that shows up every week so strongly and so regularly on this show have been following this journey with us. And I'm kind of looking back over it now, and I'm just feeling an enormous amount of love for the people we've met, soldiered with, or, you know, crossed whatever with along the way.
Yeah, I'm feeling enormous love for them and gratitude for them. And everywhere I go, you know, people come up to me and they say, you know, I've been following your work for years. Who knew? You know, I was following you when you were writing for From the Wilderness, and following you now, and I follow Mike. And, you know, it's just there are teeming masses of unseen, unnamed people out there who are just soldiering on and preparing and really, really get it. And they've been doing it for a long time.
And we've walked a long ways together. I'm feeling enormous love for them, too, right now. That's I guess that has to do with where we are at the moment. But that's good. Oh, good. We have a caller, Justin from Kansas.
Hi, Justin.
Are you there, man?
Yeah.
Hi.
I really enjoy listening to you every week, Mike. I've been following your work for a long time, ever since I saw you back in the that American Drug War documentary.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, 2007. And as soon as I saw you on that film, I knew there was something special about you, and I had to learn more. And ever since then, I've been following your work as much as I can. And kind of grew up a little bit similar to what you were saying earlier about how you did, moving around a lot. We were really, really poor growing up and moved around a bunch when I was a kid. We had to end up living in the homeless shelter quite a few times and lived out at the lake in tents and grew up pretty poor. So I saw some of the darker side of life here in our society. But as bad as I had it, I saw some things that were much, much worse than I had to go through. So I always counted my stars that it wasn't worse than it was. And kind of just, you know, have carried that through my entire life. And just over the last couple of years, I've been noticing that things seem to be falling into place, and maybe the stars are lining up or whatever. But I've been trying to get to Colorado as quick as I can. I was working construction landscape for a while, and I got hurt real bad and ruptured four discs in my back. And
ouch.
Yeah, I'm a stay-at-home dad now at this point. And the medicine I like to use is cannabis, and the doctors in Kansas don't like that, and neither do the police. And it's a problem for my family, for my doctors, and I just got to get to a state where it's legal and I won't have to worry about my family's safety, my safety, and a supply of medicine for the rest of my life. I can't go on taking pharmaceuticals for the next 30 years. You know, 3 years has been bad enough. So it just seems weird that things seem to be lining up and everybody seems to be moving to Colorado right now, and I did some research on the San Luis Valley, and it just seems like such an amazing, amazing place. And I just really wanted just to comment and say that, you know, I hope you have a good time there, Mike, that you find what you're looking for, and hopefully I'll be moving towards that neck of the woods sometime soon, and that, you know, we're all in this together, and things do seem to be lining up for some, you know, spiritual change.
Well,
and I'm so looking forward to that.
Mother Earth is definitely calling battle stations, and I'm being summoned to mine. And, you know, that's the way I view it. That's the way I feel it. That's my sense of what's happening in the world. I'm stripping down and fighting away here. And, of course, this is the climax of human events. And in terms of your medicine, I totally get where you are with that. I am a medical marijuana user. In 2007, I was thrown from an 18-hand horse in the middle of Prospect Park in Brooklyn. Long story. I was a trail guide. But I landed from like 10 feet in the air on my thumb, directly down, and it shattered all the bones in the base of my thumb. It just shattered into like 6 pieces. And all the nerves in the hand come together right around the thumb. That's why they call it thumb screws. That's why they torture people. And I had 6 pins sticking out of the skin for 7 weeks. And when they were pulled out, there was a lot of nerve damage, and it's a low-level electricity. Well, what marijuana does is it affects the synaptic transmission of electricity. And it's a otherwise, you know, I can have some real... and marijuana just shuts it off. I don't even notice it. And I totally get that for your back injury, and that's very good medicine for that. And, yeah, go to a state where people are sane.
Well, I that's what I'm trying to do, and I've been around cannabis my entire life. My parents smoked it, and I've been using it since before I got injured, and so I'm extremely intimate with it. I even got in trouble for growing it here in Kansas. So, like I said, things just kind of seem to be lining up for me to get into the, you know, I really want to get there not only for myself, but I want to grow it so I can give it away for free to other people that need it. You know, it's a medical... It's medicine. It's the most useful plant on the planet, and I think everybody should have it for free. And if people need it for medicine, I think that's my calling, is to help people, give it, you know, give medicine to people that need it.
And
that's where I'm headed.
And the hemp plant is also paper, food. It's you know, it's rope. It's clothing. It's, oh my God, you know.
Yeah.
There's a million uses for it, and I think it's, you know, that's my family's future. I've got two young children to think about. And I gotta make sure they're safe, you know, and that they have a future to look forward to, and that's my job now. I'm a father, so.
Well, remember my favorite saying is that my plans are God's entertainment. So.
Right.
Well, I want to thank you, Mike, and like I said, I've been following your work for a long time, and I feel a real deep spiritual connection to you, and I just, you know, God bless you, man, and I hope everything works out for you, and. I just can't say enough good things about you, and you really have changed my life quite a bit, Mike. I just really want to thank you for that.
Thank you all so much, and I know Carolyn feels exactly the same way for all the people who followed us for so long. It is, Carolyn, it is really good, and I got that experience after the movie and with Facebook to really see how many people I've reached, but that feels good. It must feel good for you too, huh?
Oh, God, it's what I live for, and, you know, I tell people I've never been happier or more fulfilled ever in my life, you know, because I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
And you know what? I'm exceedingly happy, too, and I'm very optimistic. The only money I will have in the world is what I get from selling everything that I have here. And I know that I'll have enough. I'll have plenty to get there, hook up with Doug, and I'm going to be free. And I've shed so much history and so much past, and that truly is what letting go is about. And that's what I would offer to people as we're in our last minute or so here, is to say that letting go is setting you free, and you'd be surprised how easy it is. But as Carolyn and I both know, anything we ever let go of had claw marks all over it.
Absolutely.
You know, but it gets easier, and it is liberating. Carolyn Baker, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
For being back with us again, and we'll have you after I'm up in Colorado. I just want to let the listeners know that there will be no show next week because I'm going to be in the middle of moving. I won't be technically able to do one. So I imagine PRN will put on one of the other great shows that we've had over the last 2 years. And the next time I come back 2 weeks from tonight, I will be coming to you live from Crestone, Colorado. And I'm going to be reporting on where I'm going now. I'm still tracker of truth. I'm still a detective. And I'm still working on the case of what's wrong with this planet. And what's happening with it. And I'm digging on that. And I am Inspector Clouseau, and I'm following the clues. And I'm going to bring those to you from a new location in 2 weeks. I love you all. Carolyn Baker, thank you. We'll see
you
in 2 weeks.
You're welcome. Thanks, Mike.
Bye-bye.